Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning there, folks. Coach Dave live. Boy, did it rain here last night. No, I'm telling you, it rained like I can't even believe. Thanks for joining us here this morning, by the way. We're waiting for a connection. Many of you know that we're having Doug Hagman's join us here this morning. And, of course, I didn't do my legwork and make sure he had the app downloaded and all that stuff. So, Jared, maybe we can even get a hold of him and see if he can join us by phone if he can't get that app to work. I know I had a couple emails back and forth with him today. See, he's up and ready to go and ready to be on the show and probably some connection on our end. So while we're waiting for Jared or Connor to make that connection, a couple things I want to cover. Got my shirt on today, Crooked Hillary for prison. Folks, listen, we're going to go to Branson, Missouri this weekend. Labor Day weekend. Would be a good time. I can never figure this out, by the way. Why do we celebrate labor by not working? I can never figure that one out. I guess we have Labor Day. Everybody takes off work just so they blend in with all the other people that aren't working and mooching off of us. So this Labor Day weekend, we're heading to Branson, Missouri, part of our Equal Justice Tour outreach. And I'm excited to announce, according to Polly, we have already at least 30 people and more continuing every day who are going to be committed to come and join with us, at least 30. So if you're just a couple hours away and you'd love to be part of it, it's going to be a great get-together. We're going to do it mainly on Jared wants to know. Hang on a second, Jared. What is that? Folks, sorry, I got to get this for Jared. Hang on maybe real quick. Let's do this. And I think it's this one. Do this, Jared, coming right to you. We got at least 30 people going to come. We're going to hand out literature. We're going to hold signs. We're going to try to increase the awareness of Equal Justice Tour. We believe we're right on top of it. In fact, that's one of the reasons why Doug and I had a conversation yesterday. One of the reasons why Doug's coming on this morning is because he understands, of all the people, he understands the importance of the Equal Justice Tour and what it is that we're trying to get done here. So 30 of us right now, 30 of us. We can get the Equal Justice Tour T-shirts. We've got them in red. We've got them in gray. We've got them in orange. And, hey, folks, listen, we need your support. These outreaches, it's going to cost us at least $1,000 to do what we're doing there in Branson, Missouri. And I know how it is. I hate people ask for money. I hate it. But listen, we need some help to cover it. Some of you, as Mark Trump likes to say, some have talents, some have other ways that they can contribute, and some of you can just fund the campaign. So I'd ask you, if you go to CoachDaveLive.com and make a donation there, help us fund this event. It's going to be a great outreach, and going to run into a lot of like-minded folks. And Rick Simpson, Rick, I saw that you're part of the list. Polly sent the list, and I was glad to see you're going to be there. Maybe you can drag some of those other guys from Branson, from Springfield with you down to Branson and see what the heck we can do. Issue number two, get the T-shirts, all right? Get the T-shirts. These are one of the ways that we are working to fund what it is we're trying to get done. Gotcha, okay? Secondly, I want to thank Dale Socia. Pastor Dale, two reasons I want to thank Pastor Dale. Number one, my smoke alarms don't beep anymore. Dale said, listen, Coach, anytime one of those things, they're all interconnected. Once one of those things stops working, you get a beep in one of them. You change a battery. It breaks that connection. He says, it's like this. When the smoke alarm goes off in one of your rooms, if there's a fire and a smoke alarm goes off, all the others are triggered and they go off too. So when one of your smoke alarms gets bad and you have to change the battery, that beep, beep, beep's already been triggered. You have to replace the rest of the battery. So we went around, we replaced every battery in all of our smoke detectors. Problem solved. Thank you, Dale Socha. And then I had the most amazing thing happen. I guess it's not amazing, but it is amazing. I got to tell you, I love the guys and the girls in the queue. In a matter of about a half hour yesterday, last night, back to back to back, I got a phone call from Dale Socha just telling me how much he appreciated what I do. I no sooner hung up the phone and I got a call from Randy Lunsford telling me how much he appreciates what I'm not making this up. These happened within 10 minutes. I took my wife to the thrift store. Yeah, we go to the thrift store. We love to. We went to the thrift store last night. By the way, that's a whole nother story. You go to the thrift store and you see, at least the one we went to in Columbus, it's on the east side of Columbus. You see why we're in the mess that we're in, folks. Oh, my goodness, the people that are in. Listen, I'm no better than anybody else, okay? I'm no better than anybody else. But when I walked in there and I saw what inner city Columbus looks like, oh, my goodness, Lord help us, Lord help us. So I'm sitting, I couldn't get out of my car because Dale Socha called me, thanked me. Randy Lunsford called me. I had about a 10-minute conversation with Randy. It really, really encouraged my heart. And no sooner did I hang up the phone with Randy, boom, Mike Spaulding calls me. Same thing. Coach, I didn't call, nothing much to say. Just keep on. I support you, yada, yada, yada. And I just want to publicly acknowledge, not that I need people to call and pat me on the back, but, you know, those three calls came out of the blue. Wasn't expecting any of them. And, you know, I caused quite a bit of controversy. That's not the proper word, maybe. Yesterday, when I took on that whole topic with, are the Jews a race or a religion? I'm not prepared to go there again today. But that's a hot one, isn't it? Are they a race or are they a religion? And again, like to say here, we're not afraid to take on any subject, and that's a subject I believe needs to be taken on. Here's the point I made yesterday, and I made it last night, again, to my wife. I was having a discussion with my wife. I said yesterday, if you're born a Jew, and we believe the Jews, or we're taught in our churches that the Jews, time out, disclaimer, I am not anti-Semitic.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, Vic.
If the Jews are here, how can they be erased?
Vic, how come you interrupted before I got a chance to go? Then you can come in. Just making it again, Vic. I got a thought. You didn't let me make the thought, okay? If the Jewish people are God's chosen people, bloodline Jews, God's chosen people, okay? God's chosen people. Sammy Davis Jr. converts to Judaism. Does that mean now that Sammy Davis Jr. is God, one of God's chosen people? Can you convert and become one of God's chosen people? Can you do that? That's the question. No, it's not. Has nothing to do with the Holocaust. No, it doesn't have anything to do with anti-Semitism. Have anything to do with that. See, you can become a Christian. That is how you are a Christian. You're not born a Christian. You are a Christian through conversion. You are adopted into the family. You are grafted in. Anybody can be a Christian. And I believe when you become a Christian, you become God's chosen people. That's what I believe. Okay? That's my belief. I don't want to argue about it. But if all you have to do to become one of God's chosen people is to convert to Judaism, then why don't we all convert to Judaism? Sammy Davis Jr. did. So I don't want to get too deep and fight and all that kind of stuff. Folks, just ask yourselves, use some common sense in some of the things that we have been told that we believe. Well, listen, here's my opinion again, as we're waiting for Doug, so I don't have all this stuff on my screen that I got some more ammunition coming your way on this whole issue. Okay, here's my take. God had to get a perfect sacrifice a perfect seed through the bloodline. He had to do that. That's the only way. Through the fruit of the womb, out of Mary, impregnated by the Holy Spirit, a perfect, unblemished Hebrew. Made it through time. Perfect blood had to be spilled. A sinless blood had to be spilled to cover the sins of men. If Jesus Christ had sinned, then the shedding of his blood was for his own sin. It would not have covered me and you. Are you with me? If Jesus had committed sins, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. If Jesus had committed sins, then Jesus was going to have to pay for his own sin with his own blood. But the whole idea was to get a perfect bloodline, the seed of the woman, through to become the perfect sacrifice in the fullness of time. Jesus Christ fulfilled that, in my opinion. Because he did that, and the veil was rent, and the temple was destroyed, at that point, Judaism, and the diaspora began to be dispersed into all the world, and the idea of a perfect bloodline Jew, in my opinion, no longer exists. I did some research yesterday. You can study up on it. They can't find a pure bloodline Hebrew or Jew, whatever you want to call it. Listen, I'm not trying to fight. I'm trying to get us to think here, okay? Now, folks, if you are a child of God, you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Are you in more of a relationship with God than Sammy Davis Jr.? Is Sammy Davis Jr., who converted to Judaism, I think he's dead now anyway, is Sammy Davis Jr. in a more righteous relationship with God than you because he's a Jew?
Coach, can I take a stab at this?
Well, doesn't the Bible say that there is no Jew, there is no Greek, that whole idea, that bloodline thing is over because the perfect sacrifice got through. Now, I'm not arguing about whether there's going to be a regathering of Jews. I'm not arguing about that, but it's very, very simple. If you just do any research at all, you're going to find out that most of the Jews that we see in America, in the world today, are Ashkenazi Jews, not true bloodline Jews. Does this sound anti-Semitic? I'm just telling the truth. I was a Catholic, all right? I converted out of Catholicism. Am I still considered a Catholic? Am I still a Catholic? Can I go become a Jew and become one of God's chosen people? I just doesn't have anything to do with doesn't have anything to do with that. It has the idea people call it replacement theology. That's not what I'm trying. I'm not talking about replacement theology. None of that. I believe that I am an heir of Christ, that I am a child of the King. That's what I believe because of my conversion. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, I'm now adopted into his family. And I'm sorry. If you are a Jew and you have not received Christ as your Savior, you are not entering into the kingdom. You're not part of the kingdom. If you're a Muslim, you're not part of the kingdom. If you're just some guy walking down the street, you were raised Methodist, and you don't know anything about it, you're not part of the kingdom, boys and girls. That bloodline stuff, it doesn't matter anymore. You are no longer born a Christian. I hear people tell me I was born a Christian. Impossible! It's impossible to be born a Christian. You have to be born again a Christian. I'm going to talk about this later on, because this is kind of at the heart of everything that we see. Okay, I shouldn't have brought that up. Is Doug in here with us? Did somebody tell me that? Did the Honorable Douglas J. Hagman himself get in there? There he is.
Let's see. I think. Can you hear me?
You're in, brother. Doug Hagman, you're in, man. And Doug, I appreciate you so much. And my wife will tell you, I spend more time with you than her. I do, man. Every night I'm sitting there, got my headphones on or an earplug in, something going on. Listen to the Hagman Report. And just honored that you would come on with us, Doug, because, you know, there are a lot of people who would like to have a little more intimate peek at who you are and what you're all about, because you play this straight-laced guy that sits there and interviews everybody else. But there's a side of you that a lot of people need to know about, Doug. And first of all, I want to thank you for all that you've done, helped us with the Equal Justice Tour. You're the one guy who laid it on the line and said, I'm in with you guys, because I think you understand that probably more than anybody. Before we get too deep in it, Doug, I'm just going to say whatever you want to say right now here on Coach Dave Live.
Well, Coach, thanks for having me. Can you hear me okay? Is this all right?
Yeah, that's right. Great.
I apologize for looking kind of wrinkled and frumpy this morning. I'm not. I've been going since about 3:30, so my apologies. I just haven't had a chance to get cleaned up. But thanks for having me. You know, the one thing I want to see most really is for Equal Justice Tour to bring results and to get more people involved. So whatever we can do on that, let's do it. And Coach, you're thank you for agreeing to join with me tomorrow on our show. Mm-hmm. In fact, I had a couple of people ask you if they could, if I had an open schedule tomorrow, including Steve Quayle. And I told Steve, I said, Steve, you got to take a backseat to Coach.
Man, that's big time.
So, yeah, he's coming on the second hour. You got the first. So I'm really happy about that. And I think that we all have to really kind of join together and push this forward. I don't know.
Why do you think it's so important? I got a call from Randy Lunsford, one of our guys yesterday, and he said, Coach, tune into Hannity. He keeps mentioning equal justice. It's kind of a buzzword, Doug. What is it about this equal justice thing that has really hit so close to home with you?
Well, obviously, Coach, I mean, I'm living through a lawsuit right now that through the legal system, not the justice system. And clearly, when you live like you have, when you live through a lawsuit and you've got people sniping at you and wanting to take you down, it becomes personal. And if we collectively, individually and collectively, don't do anything and don't bind together and prevail in this environment of litigation or non-litigation as it comes to the Clintons and others, if we just selectively enforce laws or selectively go after what or not go after, I mean, you pick and choose different things of what you're going to get. For example, the Attorney General saying, well, I'm not going to pursue this, or a judge saying, well, I'm not going to let this go forward, but I'll let this go forward. I mean, I'm up close and personal with the legal system, seeing, by the way, what the Donald Trump picks for federal judges are, what he's accomplished. In other words, people will say, well, Donald Trump hasn't done anything. Well, in my personal experience, based on the judicial picks in the federal court, he's changed the complexion of the federal court quite a bit, at least in my experience, for the good. So will that ultimately impact, shall I say, the Equal Justice Tour and the Clinton and the Comey and all that stuff that's out there? It very well could. So I think now is perhaps the best time of all that we collectively, again, as a group, Equal Justice Tour, can strike and maybe make a difference, because now people are paying attention. Now, Donald Trump has federal judges in various seats. He's got certain people within the Department of Justice who are paying attention. So let's capitalize on that.
And so Doug, why no perp walks?
I'm sorry?
Why have there been no perp walks? How come we haven't seen anybody arrested? Doug, as you know, as a private investigator, somebody connected with, as you say, the legal system, not the justice system. If a crime is committed in your town and the police investigate it, Doug, it's not 9 months. It's not 2 years before they charge and arrest somebody. What's going on?
You know, I happened to see a show yesterday, Coach, to answer your question. It was one of the, it was on one of the obscure channels, the ID channels, and it was about an unsolved homicide. It lay dormant for 24 years. And this woman, who is the friend, a good friend of the victim, the homicide victim, had petitioned, I mean, done everything possible to get the Dallas police to reopen this homicide investigation after 24 years. And she started out by making a call, you know, once a week, and then it was a couple of times a week, and then every day. And then she went out and she got her private investigator's license and realized that the PI license is just a piece of paper to the cops, and that's not going to help you too much. But what changed the course of that particular case is when she started having others in her family and others around her call the Dallas Police Department every single day, to the point where they said, okay, for crying out loud, just stop calling. What do you want us to do? It was
squeaky
more like
wheel gets the grease, right? Squeaky right. Wheel gets the grease.
And after 26 years, there was a perp walk on this. Now that's a homicide, obviously. And that's a very personal thing, but the reason I mention that is I think the only thing at this point we can do is to become that squeaky wheel and say, you know, we're not going away. And on a personal level, that's what I've had to do because of my son. The circumstance, and I'm like, I won't get into that, but the circumstances surrounding that, if you would just accept what the police and what the perception is, my son, a junkie, you know, a heroin junkie, shoots up and dies. Okay. And well, hey, good riddance. That's one less person we have to worry about. One less mope, one less, you know, Muppet we have to worry about, you know, sucking our oxygen. And at face, I agree with that. Believe it or not, I'm talking about my own son now. At face, I would say you're right. Until you start digging a little bit deeper and say, wait a minute, that's not what happened here. And in fact, I mean, far from it. In fact, it was in my view, a homicide. And I was able to identify motive, means, opportunity. But the reason I brought that up is because when the police look at something and they say, okay, well, this is what it appears to be. And the coroner comes in, and the coroner's report is based on just like three things: the witness information, the police information, and the coroner's personal assessment and observations. Well, the last is based a lot on the former too. So if the first two are not complete or incorrect, well, the.
So Doug, if they say Jeffrey Epstein hung himself and they start with that premise, they can make the evidence fit that premise.
Exactly. And it's not necessarily done out of malice in this case or in any case. And maybe Epstein, look, I wasn't there. I don't know. But maybe when you have a coroner or a medical examiner, and there's a difference, look at the facts and the facts presented to the coroner or medical examiner. Say, well, you know, it had to happen this way or based on the information I'm getting. If the forensic elements do not dispute or are not inconsistent with the initial reports, then the coroner or medical examiner will go with the findings plus the statements. Like a time of death, for example, if Epstein was supposedly died at 7 or was found at 7 a.m., I'm just using that as an example. I don't know why. But let's say 7 a.m. is they found him. And at the time that they found him, we'll say the last check was at 6:30 a.m. Again, as an example. Well, the coroner looks at that and says, okay, so between 6:30 and 7, he put a rope or sheet around his neck and hung himself. Well, if we find out that 6:30 a.m. last check was actually 4:30 a.m. last check, that 2 hours there's okay, now it changes the whole story. So the coroner in the Epstein case, relying on the testimony of the guards or whatever, along with whatever footage there might be or not, might not be, that's how they determine the time of death in the Epstein case. Okay. So, or the time of the events, the hanging. I'm trying to really break this down so people really understand this. So it's not an exact science, because in the Epstein case, the coroner can't look at the body and say, okay, he died or, you know, yeah, his last breath was at 6:46 in 30 seconds. There's just no way. The only way that could happen is if you've got both, or if you've got a videotape that's authenticated by a user, or a video authenticated by somebody behind the camera or monitoring the camera. So a lot of this is starts out with non-conspiratorial stuff. In other words, it doesn't have to be a conspiracy. It could be just innocuous at first. And then what they do is they take that, and building on it, they either continue to just really munge up the entire case based on erroneous initial evidence, or they exploit the facts or non-facts to their benefit. And I think it's a combination of both with Epstein. I think there was a lot of incompetence, but I also think that once the incompetence was locked in, they were able to exploit the weaknesses of the case. So let's go with Clinton. The FBI never touched the Clinton servers, never even saw the Clinton servers. The FBI never analyzed the FBI or the DNC or Clinton servers. Never. So
they just took their word. Somebody else had looked at the servers and they took their word for it. Said, oh, okay, that's right. They're clean, right?
Right, right. You know, it would be like me looking at the servers and submitting a report saying, here's what we found to the FBI. And the FBI taking this report and saying, okay, so it appears that, you know, on this date, the Russians hacked in and Cozy Bear and Fuzzy Bear on this date. And yeah, there's the metadata, the breadcrumbs. And okay, we'll accept this. Well, in the case of Clinton, that's kind of what happened. And when this report is fake or incompetently done, or they accept it as fact when in fact they know it's not. So, I mean, take your pick, and they build off this. Everything from this point on is either a lie or a misconception, whether it's intentional or not intentional. But that's how up close and personal in every case, every single case, whether it's my federal case that I'm fighting, or whether it's my son, or whether I'm looking at the Clintons or the Epstein case, in every single case, they've got these common factors.
So Doug, we came across something I shared on the show. By the way, folks, I'm going to give you a chance to get in there and ask Doug a few questions. Just let me lay a little bit of groundwork here first. Doug, we came across something on a show the other day called Misprison of Treason. Misprison of Treason. Meaning that if any elected official, actually any citizen of the United States, according to what we read, has information or knowledge of a treasonous act and do not report it, they themselves are guilty of what they call misprison of treason. So, Doug, in other words, all those FBI guys who know, James Comey stood before the American people and talked about the fact that Hillary had done this, she had an illegal server, that she had wiped the server clean, and that she had shared sensitive information. All three of them felonies, Doug. How does Comey get away with not doing his job?
Well, again, I have to go back to what I personally experience. How does a DA get away with not doing their job? How does a federal judge or a federal magistrate get away with not doing their job? Or
So in the death of your son, Joe, they would have just written it off as just another death had you not prodded and made them do their job, right?
Right. And I'm not saying that there was any conspiracy behind it. I'm just saying, well, it looks this way. And, you know, we're not going to expend resources to look for any further. And but that's kind of the same elements, if you will, of all of these cases, in my view. And I don't want to minimize any of these, and especially the Clinton and Comey thing. You asked about how could Comey possibly get away with this? Well, I mean, to take it to a more manageable level, how could a DA not prosecute someone or decide not to prosecute someone? The DA is an elected position here. Okay, what about the Attorney General? That's an appointed position by the President of the United States. All right, it's a political position, as the DA would be. All of the people that we're dealing with, including what Equal Justice Tour is dealing with, are political operatives first, and then the positions are second. So if you're dealing with with the exception of the state police and certain people in the FBI, the lower tier. So what you're dealing with, what we're all dealing with, is the responsive nature of you got a DA or you got an AG saying, what would it look like if I prosecuted Hillary Clinton or James Comey? Even worse, what would it look like if we prosecuted James Comey for misprison of treason or misprison or even one less misprison of felony? I don't want to use those two interchangeably, but you understand. What's the perception to the American people going to be? And, you know, where am I going? You know, what's the fallout going to be to me? Meaning Barr or whoever the person might be. I don't know if I'm making sense, but there are a lot of moving parts and a lot of elements in this that you've got people saying, well, if we just move on, people will forget about this. And largely that's what they've done.
Doug, I'm in chapter 59 of Isaiah. Connor, I don't know if you could pull that up real quickly. I just think it's an appropriate time to throw this in here, Doug. Because I tell people when we do the Equal Justice Tour, it is a righteous cause that we're doing, brother. It's not political, although they want to make it political. It's not. And Isaiah 59, Connor, if you get it up there, bear with me a second, Doug, because I'm going to try to tie something together here real quickly. Isaiah 59 says, but the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you, you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that they will not hear. God is not hearing us, Doug. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. Verse 4, none calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and elected officials and prosecutors. And they speak lies, they conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Go on down to verse 8, if you could, for me. Verse 8, Connor. Therefore, the way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. Isn't it interesting, folks? They want to tell Christians not to judge. And the Lord says, there is no judgment. Isaiah said, there isn't any judgment. That's part of the problem. There's no judgment far from us. Neither doth justice overtake us. Doug, we wait for light, but we get darkness. We look for brightness, but we have to walk in darkness. Americans grope for the wall like a blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night, and we are desolate in places of dead men. And it goes on to say that this all happened. Verse 9, I said, therefore is judgment far from us, right? So we need judgment. Verse 14, quickly. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil makes himself a prey. That's us, folks, see? We're departing from evil, and we become a prey. And the Lord saw it, Doug, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. See, that's what Equal Justice Tour is all about to me. No longer one set of judge of laws for the powerful. Not James Comey letting Hillary off for political reasons, or Peter Stroke doing whatever, letting Obama off. We cannot, as a society, as a nation, continue to exist if we allow this kind of thing to continue. I always want to bring some scripture in, Doug, so that people know that I'm not just spouting off the top of my head why this is a spiritual and moral issue. Now, I want to get to, before I let others come in, I hate to dominate this, but Doug, one of the reasons that you and I had a conversation the other night, and we were talking about the fact that we on our side do not understand how to use the legal system.
Right.
In fact, you and others, and many, many others, we just saw with David Dalyden as well, are being attacked by a system called lawfare. Lawfare. Doug, can you explain to the folks what lawfare is and how it's been waged against you?
Sure. Just yesterday, speaking of lawfare, just yesterday, these were the filings that came in on a current lawsuit against myself and Steve Quayle and John Doe's 1 through 20. that was filed on November 9th, 2015. And for those of you counting at home, that's 4 years almost. And by the way, Coach, I thought I'd show you this. Let's see here. Let me see if I had it, have it handy. Your name is in here as well. You are specifically named. Yeah. I'll send to you. This is all public record, by the way. You just have to pay for it behind PACER, the electronic filing system. But here's Lawfare. It is somebody who disagrees with you. How can I put it simply? Someone who Lawfare is a tactic to shut down the people who are making a difference, to silence them, using the legal system, not the system of justice, but the legal system as a weapon. It's the weaponization of the legal system. And in the case, and everything I'm saying is public record, and so I don't care who knows this, or because every time I talk about this, I get an email, letter, or phone call from my attorney saying, shut up, okay, because everyone's listening to what I say, or the people on the other side are listening to what I'm saying. It's a method to make us, you, Coach, me, and everyone who's making a difference, and I don't want to exclude anyone out there because y'all are making a difference in your own way. It's an attack using the legal system that requires us to get attorneys to spend money to defend against frivolous claims. That's by definition Lawfare.
Somebody files a lawsuit, maybe not in this particular case, but it could happen to anybody. Someone files a lawsuit against you. Let's say it costs $350 to file this lawsuit. I don't know. I'm just throwing a number out there.
Good number.
$100 to file the lawsuit. And then you have to spend thousands of dollars defending yourself against this lawsuit that this person brought. That's Lawfare.
Right. And by my calculation, and I could be incorrect on the other side, the filing fees to date are just under $1,000 on the other side.
The other side spent $1,000.
Okay. And my out-of-pocket expenses as of yesterday at 5 o'clock, $63,385.
Say that again, Doug.
$63,385.
You have had to pay to defend yourself against a lawsuit that cost somebody less than $1,000 to file.
Right, right. And that also does not include Steve Quayle's portion, which is in excess of $70,000. So one person by filing what amounts to be an 11 count defamation suit spent less than $1,000 and caused Steve Quayle, myself, over $130,000 in legal fees. Also, in the initial stages, enjoined Blog Talk Radio and its affiliates, which cost them probably $10,000, and created ill will. Well, the intent was to create ill will between the Blog Talk Radio platform and us. And the intent was for us to be kicked off of Blog Talk Radio. Well, that didn't happen. As a matter of fact, the owners of Blog Talk Radio contacted me and said, we're doubling down. We're behind you. We're going to fight this. Thank God. Mm-hmm. And by the way, they're Jewish. Just saying.
So this is Lawfare, Doug. This is warfare using the legal system.
Yes,
that's Lawfare.
Right, and
they can't shut you up. They're gonna drain you every blood you have. Right.
Right, and it was said in here pretty interestingly where the response. There were filings. The plaintiff in this case, and again, this is all public record. Her name is Marika Peshman. She's got associations, in my opinion, in my view, based on my research, reasoned opinion, has associations with the Clinton Global Initiative, the Clinton Foundation, and also is a friend of ghost wrote for Linda Tripp of the Linda Tripp Monica Lewinsky fame, who. It's my understanding, and I could be wrong on this, she turned against Linda Tripp, or Linda Tripp turned against her, because, again, I could be wrong on this. because of differences. And she wrote about Vince Foster, the suicide of Vince Foster, where this person who initiated this lawsuit says it was a suicide. And of course, the opposing view is a homicide. That's my view. And when I
so the people understand this, you and Steve Quayle evidently said something on your show during a course of a production where this plaintiff took offense and said, you have defamed me and spent $1,000. And now you and Steve have spent over $150,000 defending yourself against it. Is that right. The picture, Doug?
That is the picture, yes. And to be fair, now let's see, I got to be careful how I say this. What I said, or what I allegedly said, was the offending statement had to do with, in her view, that I implied criminal activity on her part. And what it comes down to is people posting pictures, names, and addresses, pictures and addresses of Steve Quayle's house on the internet. Now, she did not do that, to be clear. She did not do that, but she wrote four articles, 44,000 words before filing a lawsuit that were public. From those articles online, again, 44,000 words before we said word one against, to respond to this. People posted pictures of Quayle's house, my address in the commentary section. Mm-hmm. And they did nothing to remove that. So we said, look, because of that, we've gotten death threats. Well, what she heard was something different. She heard, okay, in her mind, we're accusing her of intimidation, stalking, and creating death threats against us. It's not the case. And again, it gives me such a headache to go through all this. But
okay, so Doug, we get it. We get it, right?
Yeah.
And there's nothing preventing other people to be able to do the exact same thing. Now, yep. Here's what
I want. One more thing, Coach. Just really, and this is really important. And we can use this to our benefit. One thing that the federal court system does is they give pro se defendants, in other words, people without an attorney, they give them so much latitude. In fact, they even help them, if you can believe this, with their filings to some extent. So in other words, Coach, if you or me, we filed a lawsuit against someone, Hillary Clinton, or maybe that's a bad example. Anyone, the federal, because we're doing it without an attorney, the federal court system will give us favor and say, okay, you know what? If you were an attorney, we dismiss this right now. But because you're not an attorney, you're not familiar with like Rule 8 of the federal court procedure, we'll give you another shot at it. Well, this woman, this is her fourth shot at this in 4 years.
Man. Okay. Doug, let me, I just, you know how clock is, man. I'm trying.
Go, yeah.
Cause we're listen, folks, Doug and I had this conversation on the air, or I'm sorry, on the phone the other night. And I want to bring it to the air because I know out there are a lot of people that are listening to us and a lot of people see this replay. Can somebody tell me where are the attorneys who would defend Doug Hagmann for free? Where are the attorneys? You mean to tell me that we don't have any type of what would I call this, Doug? An organization of Christian attorneys who would be brought together to defend those of us who are fighting in the public forum. Where are those guys that would say, hey, I'll do that for free? Doug, I'll be glad to take that on for free. Where are those, Doug? Because the truth is, you couldn't find them. You had to go out and hire your own high-powered attorneys that are billing you probably $300 an hour, draining all of your resources, draining all of your energy, thinking, why am I even doing this? Doesn't anybody even, am I reading your mind pretty good here, Doug? Where are those people? And then secondly, I'm asking this, and I'm going to be with Doug on Doug's show tomorrow. I'm going to ask the same thing. Why doesn't some attorney somewhere rise up and say, I'm going to form an organization, and we're going to defend guys like this? There are thousands and thousands of Christian attorneys across America. How can you sit on your hands and allow this guy to defend his own self against a lawsuit when you could be helping him do it? In fact, Doug, you could probably raise money for your defense. You don't operate that way. But if you had some attorneys that would come on and say, listen, we're not making a lot of money off this thing, but there are filing fees, there are research. And if you folks can help me, help us do this, we're going to, what do you think the ACLU does, folks? What do you think they do? Where is our organization? And then number two, where are the attorneys advising our side how to do to the left what they've done to Doug Hagman? Why aren't we filing lawsuits? Why are we not engaging in lawfare as well against the other side? Why can't we understand this war and engage in this war in an equal way? If we can file a lawsuit for $1,000 against pick whoever you want to, pick anybody on the left, file a $1,000 lawsuit against them, and it costs them $70,000 to defend themselves. Why aren't we doing that?
There it is. We should be. We should be. And
we're Christians. Christians don't sue. No, Christians don't sue other Christians.
I had a conversation with Dr. Michael Lake over the weekend, and that was the topic of conversation, you know, turn the other cheek or not be Christian like and don't initiate lawsuits. Don't defend yourself in certain cases, and how the scripture has been perverted to kind of shame Christians into inactivity. And, mm-hmm. and that's, so you're exactly right. And I think we need to go on the offensive, Coach, as you've been saying for years. We need to go on the offensive. We need to find attorneys that are capable, licensed, sane attorneys. Okay, because believe me, there are attorneys out there who, you know, yeah, well, I'll do it, but you know, you got to be careful because
wow. We want to scare them, because I know this, you know this, and I know this. We could raise hundreds of thousands of dollars for an organization like this. Would you agree with that, Doug? Your folks would chip in. We're sick of it, man. We're sick of it. The left sues, and we are just a punching bag. We got 13 minutes. Let me open it up. I know somebody's busting to ask you a question,
Coach. Yes. Coach. UT Austin produces a large portion of the lawyers here in Texas. So now you have to understand that college is run by the Chinese, and they're taught law, but with a socialist slant. And the second point that I would like to make is that lawyers, they need to get a spine, because they're spineless, because they see what happens to like that GOP from Oklahoma, that other one from Arkansas, that they get Arkansas-ed, it lays heavy on the back of their mind. The third thing, Doug, you said like about 3.5-4 weeks ago on your show that something it's like the lies are dominating the justice system. I can't really quote what you said, but my jaw was on the ground when I heard you say that, because it's not ruled by truth. It's ruled by lies. Thank you.
Amen.
Hey, now, let's not forget there's exceptions to every generality. There's a lawyer on this queue that I can tell you from personal experience is one of those that will help out without charging. You just can't do it for everybody in the whole world.
Of course, of course. Unless we're not disparaging Roger. No, we're not at all, right? But we believe that if we got a bevy of lawyers together, each one of them could donate a little bit of the time that it takes. You say, well, Coach, that's not the way it works, because lawyers, you know, they have to be intricately involved in the case. And yada. I get it. But there ought to be a bevy of lawyers out there who are willing to step forward and fight for us without it having to drain money out of our own pockets. Somebody else, come on in. Or Doug, you can respond.
And I think, Coach, we're looking at going on the offense. We're not looking for free representation on the defense. We're looking at lawyers willing to go on the offense on our behalf.
Yes. Yes. For instance, I said this one. I'm letting the cat out of the bag here. Can somebody tell me how Planned Parenthood can get $500 million a year, and I'm not allowed on the property? They get $500 million tax dollars, and I'm not allowed on the property? What? That thing needs to be challenged. Somebody's got to fight that thing for us. Somebody, come on in.
Coach. Hey, Coach. Whenever the Christians change their mentality and realize when Jesus said, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, we're not just harmless as doves. On the contrary, we should be wiser than they are, smarter, shrewder, tougher. We have to understand this was Jesus. He went and he turned tables over in their system and said, come at me, come get me. We have to be willing to do that, Coach. We have to be willing to do that. And we can do that. We have to change.
We have to understand that being a Christian is about righteousness and justice. It's not about being nice. Chad, come on in. Chad, come on in. Go ahead, Chad. Sleeping on the job? Somebody else, come on in.
All right, hey, be bold as lions. I've been saying that for years. None of the churches I'd ever been in would go to the streets and help the people get saved. Not a one.
Amen.
They wouldn't go into the homes and do Bible studies.
Amen.
You know,
Coach.
I kept saying, man, be bold as lions. Let's do this.
Well, we're being told you're not Christian if you fight back. You're not a Christian. That's the stuff they've shoved into our heads. So, Doug Hagman, it's all right. Doug Hagman, you go out and you do your Hagman report and people get mad at you. And Doug, they sue you. You lose your son over it. You got a lot of skin in the game in this thing. And people say to you, well, Doug, just turn the other cheek.
Nope. Coach, I never turned the other cheek. Nope. I always called it for what it is.
Justice, baby.
It's truth. Justice. If it's justice, it's justice. Exactly right.
Go, Vic.
You don't need to defend the truth. You just need to cut it loose. The truth will win.
Chad, it says here, you got a message. You have a question. Bring it in there, brother, if you got to ask. Sorry. While we're waiting on you, Chad. Somebody else. We got about 8 minutes left here. You got 8 minutes with Doug Hagman.
I just want a Hagman coffee cup.
Me too.
He's got a bunch of legal fees he's got to pay.
This second time I've asked you, Doug, like to get a coffee cup.
I'm telling you what. Here's the deal, Coach. Anything made in America is cost prohibitive. So we're trying to get something made in America. And by the way, we'll get you guys fixed up with coffee cups and coffee because I have a line of coffee coming out too. So.
All right. I still got my big duffel bag you sent me, Doug. I wear it, my book bag, I wear it everywhere I go. A lot of advertisement for you in the airports, brother. You know the one I'm talking about, right?
You're the man. That's right.
Yes, sir. I'd be lost without that one. Somebody else, come on in here.
I was wondering where that private line of coffee was at, Doug. I can smell it, but I was wondering if you were drinking it right now.
I am. Actually, I am. And we had to we had to tweak something with the roaster. So it's coming back out and we had to get new bags. But long story. Watch in a couple of weeks it'll be out full force, even maybe in the store shelves. So
amen. Amen.
Is there a way to reach you?
What's that?
Is there a way to reach him, like a phone number or?
Well, I don't want him to give out his own phone number because it'll run off the hook.
Well, I know that, but it's some way to reach him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the best way to do it, real simple, is Doug, D-O-U-G, at HagmanReport.com. I know how to do that. Text, I'm not real good with phones. Good luck with that. Doug at HagmanReport.com.
But in fairness, he gets hundreds of them a day, I'm sure. So, you know.
Right, but how do I get to talk to him? You know what I mean?
Send me an email, and send me an email with your contact information. Let me call you.
All righty. Can you put the email in the text?
I think I can.
Thank you.
We'll get it for you.
I'm Luann, by the way.
Okay, Luann.
Yeah, I'll put it in the message box. That's who I am.
Okay, well, send me an email with your. You just put Coach Dave on the subject line.
You did okay. You put your email in there for Doug@HagmanReport.com. Doug@HagmanReport.com.
Doug, we got about, thank you.
Got about 5 minutes here, Doug. Just kind of.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Just kind of wrap it up. What's as you would say, Coach? The last 5 minutes are yours. What would you say, Doug?
You know, everyone on this call or this meeting support Coach Dave. I mean, whatever you got to do. Hey, if he needs his car washed, wash his car. Okay. I'm not trying to make light of anything, but we need to stick together. There are things happening, by the way, just real quickly, in the alternative media, some alternative media stars, if you will, are really kind of losing their minds. And I'm saying that. I'm looking at people kind of self-destructing actually in real time, and it's sad to say. So it's important. The reason I said that is it's important to understand who we need to support, like Coach Dave. So please support Coach Dave and all of his efforts. Let's get the Equal Justice Tour, whatever we need to do there, let's get that pushed forward, the agenda in that. Because without justice, we're nothing. Our country's nothing. Without the rule of law, we're nothing. And really, let's stick together and let's realize that, as you said, Coach, this is not a spectator sport, nor is it one where we maintain a fetal position. We fight back and we fight offensively in addition to defensively. So if I had to say just a few things in closing, that's it. Support Coach Dave. Support the Equal Justice Tour. Let's all stick together. Support doesn't necessarily mean only financial. It means be there for them. If you need you out there at 5th of Main at noon, let's go out at 5th of Main at noon. You might have something better to do, or not better, but something different to do. But you know what? You can always make time. And
hey, Doug, are we just wasting our time, Doug? I hear that all the time. You guys just wasting your time. No. Nobody's ever going to get the Clintons. There's never going to be justice. What's your take on that, Doug?
No. As I said before, what changed for me in that show I watched when that woman called that Dallas police force and they said, okay, for crying out loud. That's what we need to do. We need to become the pains, the flies in the ointment, the pains in the butts. The Justice Department should know all of our first and last names, our phone numbers by heart. They should be so sick and tired of hearing from us. And we're not wasting our time. And don't let anyone tell you that, because those people either have never been there or they've got an ulterior motive. Doug, anything about that? Yeah.
Hey, Doug, thank you. Thank you for coming on the show. This is Vinny from Brooklyn. Hey, guys, I'm sorry I've been away so long. I want to tell you, first of all, thanks again. I'm so sorry about Joe. I want you to think about this, because the way you approach is the way everyone seems to approach it. And I think there's a problem with it, because Joe is not a junkie, and Joe should never be referred to as a junkie. That should never be acceptable to you. Let me tell you why. It's because Joe didn't start shooting needles. I'm pretty sure Joe got pills. That was because of the Sacklers. The Sacklers are responsible for Joe's death, as far as I'm concerned. All right? And Joe's not a junkie. He never was a junkie. So you should never let anybody call him that. All right?
Okay.
And listen, I think the law is a racket. Just the way you guys are talking about Coach is perfect. You know, that's what we need to do. The same thing. Everyone file a lawsuit today, and we'll get help filing lawsuits. And we'll put all these bastards in hock like they put us in hock. That's how we do it. And Amen. They can't stand it, because we can do it. We can survive without money. They can't. So let's see how they like it.
Amen. Amen. Here's the truth, folks. Thanks, Vinny. Just kind of wrap the whole thing up here. Doug Hagman is the one I first heard use the term that we have a legal system, not a justice system. And, folks, we all know. I just saw the statistic, Doug. 78% of Americans think our legal system is broken. 78%. So when we talk about equal justice, people understand this, folks. They understand it. But we can't just sit back and pray that that Bill Barr is going to do the right thing, because Lord knows that's not the way the system works. Pray for Doug. Support the Hagmans. I can't imagine if I had to spend $60,000 to defend myself against a lawsuit. I can't even imagine. Doug, you're a real hero. I don't know where America would be without you, buddy. And I know that you say, that's okay, coach. I'm just doing my job. I understand. But it's cost you more than what it will cost any of us that are fans of yours. So stay with us, Doug. We're going to be off the air here in a second, but we'll stay here in the queue. Thanks for joining us. Hagman Report, live.com every night, 7 o'clock. If you're not, Doug's always got the good scoop for you, the good story. Thanks, Doug. God bless you, man. Folks, we'll see you tomorrow.